around. Father God, forgive me for putting so-and-so or something ahead of you. And I pray that you will become my focal point during the day, not this person or thing that I've been worshiping.
You know, one of the downsides of idolatry, Barbara, is we've heard Derek Prince say, let's turn over the coin, look at the other side of it. But I would say this, and the Lord just gave this to me in the last 30 minutes. If someone other than the Lord is on the throne of your life, it's going to be almost impossible to praise and worship God the way you need to. Now, if there's another person on the throne of your life, and I think about a little diagram we used when I was with Campus Crusade for Christ, in the little Four Spiritual Laws booklet, there was a little throne there.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, who's on the throne of your life?
Yes.
Well, many times the person we were ministering to, they were on the throne of their life. They were calling all the shots. Well, I want to say this to you. We need to worship the Most High God. We need to salute Him and honor Him and love Him and think about Him. But we're really going to think about that person that's on the throne of our lives. If that's ourselves, it shouldn't be. If it's somebody else. And some people idolize their mate. Some idolize their children. Some idolize, if you can believe this, sports figures and maybe a football coach or a baseball coach or a baseball star or whatever. We need to be real careful that we keep God on the throne of our lives. And that allows us a natural propensity and desire to praise the Lord. I think that's a great revelation. I praise God for that revelation.
Yes, praise the Lord. And curses come because of anger and bitterness. We see in Genesis that Cain's anger led to murder when he murdered his brother Abel. We see also regarding the sin of Levi and Simeon, and that's in Genesis 49:7. Their anger, cursed be their anger, for it's fierce, and their wrath for it's cruel. So if you have a rage inside of you, anger, that's a sin. You call it what it is. And friends, you've got to address it. You've got to confront it, and you've got to ask God to take it away, forgive you, and you can cut that off. If it's a generational curse that's come down from you had an angry grandfather or a great-grandfather, cut that off in the name of Jesus. Just allow Holy Spirit to cut that curse off, and you're going to be the first generation that doesn't carry around that terrible characteristic family trait. And also we see that bitterness can really cause horrible things. In Hebrews 12:15-16, it says, see to it there is no root of bitterness springing up, causing trouble and defilement. What does bitterness bring? Trouble and defilement. And it also, there's other, it may cause two more deadly things, Darren. Worse things come because of bitterness. The resentment may cause a spirit of revenge to say, I'm going to go after them. I'm going to go get them. So many deaths are caused by a person saying, I'm not going to let them get away with what they got away, and it ends up in somebody dying.
Well, you know, that's why the police don't like these family arguments.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what the statistics are. I don't remember them, but it's very high when a policeman responds to a domestic disturbance. I mean, that's a very, very unsafe situation, not only for the people involved, but for the policeman that's responding. And it's because of these high flaming passions.
Yes.
That comes with bitterness. It comes with unforgiveness. And even if you didn't get to the point of murder, if you hate somebody, you've had murder in your heart. And guess what you need to repent of? And I know we talk a lot about repentance because we have a holiness message. We want you to be holy because that's the way you win. And that's to get as far away from sin as you can get. So if there's been bitterness and resentment and anger and hatred and all those things stirring around down inside of your heart, you need to ask God right now to forgive you, number one. And you need to receive His forgiveness and His cleansing from the spirit of murder. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is, the spirit of murder. And then you won't be guilty of Hebrews 12:15 when it says, you know, by this many are defiled when it springs up among you. And you know how that works. It's like a cancer in a family. If you have one person that's just angry all the time, they're unforgiving, they're unrepentant, they're not teachable, they're stiff-necked, they're hard-hearted, they're selfish, they're all of those things. They really are into pride and idolatry, and they're really honoring themselves above everybody else and above everybody else's circumstance. That is a tragic, tragic thing to go on. It needs to be judged, it needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be repented of.
Yes.
Or that person, well, we see the arthritis and the lupus and all those things. We're talking about a profile here for a lot of the physical ailments. And folks, you can go from doctor to doctor, and they'll never find it in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
They won't find it with a CAT scan or an MRI. And because that spirit there is mixing chemicals to destroy the person, it's like it's giving the order for murder or the order for death. This person wants to die.
That's right.
And you need to get that out of your heart, folks. I'm going to tell you something. That's very, very destructive.
Yeah. We can't allow anger, bitterness to continue and call ourselves believers. We just can't. Now, the next curse that comes upon people is sexual sin. And we see in Numbers 5, 11 through 21, the curse of unfaithfulness in marriage. And we also, I believe a real interesting story here, and it's also in the book of Numbers, Darren, is the story about Balaam. And we all know about the Balaam's donkey who talked to him through because an angel couldn't get Balaam's attention. So the donkey, Holy Spirit, spoke through the donkey. But here is an example of because Balaam wouldn't curse the country of Israel for King Balak. Had employed Balaam to come and curse the country of Israel because they were so prosperous. And Moab wanted a defeat here, but Balaam would not curse Israel. He says, I cannot curse what the Lord does not curse, and I cannot bless what, and I will bless what the Lord blesses. So what did Balak, the king of Moab, do? In the 25th chapter of Numbers, he invited Israel, the people, because he couldn't get them to be cursed, and he invited them to a feast. He invited them to sacrifices of their gods, the Moab gods. And the people came. Oh, you know, whenever there's a party, oh, come join us. Have a party with us. Aren't you? Hey, you're a little curious and you're a little enthused about, hey, maybe this is going to be a good party. And so they came to Moab and they joined themselves to Baal. And the Lord was angry against Israel. Now, this is one way a curse can come upon you. When you join yourself with people that are having a good time, then you get involved in their sexual sins. Now, then, after the feast, they were attracted to one another, Darren, the men and the women, and they intermingled. And as a result of this, 24,000 people of Israel died as a result. And you can read this in the 25th chapter of Numbers. We don't have enough time today to talk about it. But
no,
sexual...
Wait just a minute. What chapter of Numbers? I think you gave the wrong... Is it Numbers 25?
Yes,
okay.
It sure is. It talks about how they intermingled in marriage then. Balaam would not curse Israel. So Balak, the king of Moab, decided, well, I'm going to get him another way. I'm going to get him through sexual sin, and he really did.
You know, I believe that, and all of us have been in situations that are compromising, and the drinks go around, okay, we're going to have a toast. Bottoms up, guys, and the glasses are clicking, and you're the only one standing here without a glass in your hand. Now, what does that tell you? You're probably in the wrong place.
That's right. You really are. You need to get out of there.
When good people get all sauced up, they do things. Their moral, depraved nature, if it's in there, is going to come out.
Yes.
And I talked to a woman one time that had been a real seductress. She said, I feel, and then she found the Lord. She said, Darren, I cannot tell you how many men who had never been unfaithful to their wives I had seduced.
Oh, how sad.
Now, that happens in this culture, and that woman is still alive today, not doing real well. But I have to say this. She just said that in conversation. I am so grieved over my past because I took many men down the track of unfaithfulness that had never been unfaithful to their wives before. Well, that really is there, and I want to toss something else in here, Barbara. In Matthew 5, 27, 28, Jesus gives the pattern here for adultery, and here's what he says. You shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Yes.
Now, some of the men that I've talked to say, well, you know, my deal's on the internet, and it only hurts me. I'm not lusting after my neighbor's wife or after women at work or da-da-da-da. I'm just pure as a driven snow. What I have here is a private sin going. It's something that's in my head, and yes, Darren, it's in my heart, but it's not hurting anybody. Well, I believe if you're lusting after the naked women on the internet and the perversion that goes on there, and some of it is actual movies, and it's not just still pictures, but people are doing very pornographic things there, I believe you're guilty of adultery and certainly perversion. And I want to tell you, that's high-speed spiritual cancer, and it will kill you. It will take your business, it'll take your profession, it'll take your family, it'll take your mind. And pretty soon you will be